The TARDIS is under attack by the Doctor's enemies. Doctor Who action figures and playsets.
From character.
Yes, I remember everything. I know who I am. I am the Doctor. I am the Doctor.
You're listening to Pieces of Eighth, the Doctor Who podcast that's revisiting old favourites as we invite a previous guest who's full of character back to chat about that plastic fantastic. He had no option. We're carrying on our trip through those sections of the Doctor Who universe that feature the incarnation of the Time Lord as played by Paul McGann. I'm Rebecca Chapman.
And I'm Kenny Smith with a slightly sore throat today. You join us as we resume our quest to feature the Eighth Doctor's exploits, whether on screen, in books, novellas, full cast audios, short stories, comics, animations, talking books, backpacks, puppets, frozen drink holders, unofficial figurines depicting the Doctor as a turd with his dog Strain 9, or anything else we can lay our eyes, ears and hands upon, but preferably not a poo. And this week we're returning to the world of Doctor Who action figures, as we're taking a look at the new figures on the way from Character Options, which should be arriving in our high streets any day now, with the Eighth Doctor triple back. But before we go there, hello, Becca.
Hello.
May I just I'm very well. You're looking wonderful. You better tell everybody about your hair because it is amazing.
I got my hair done today because I'm going to my partner's graduation in a couple of days, and my grandmother decided that if I didn't have my hair done, I would show her up. So It's been 4 years since my last haircut, so
yeah,
my head feels a lot lighter.
It looks fantastic because you have got such an amazing thick mane of hair, and I am so jealous. So
don't be jealous. You can have it. It's fine.
Oh, thanks. Have you got the offcuts there?
No, unfortunately not. But next time.
Oh, okay. But and also, I'm sure that everybody wants to know, how is the no smoking going?
The no smoking is going very well. I still haven't smoked.
That's very good. Mm. But if you do start to smoke, slow down and use a lubricant.
Yes, obviously.
And, but yes, since our last action figure episode way back in season one, episode 5, you've acquired a nice wee collection of the figures, haven't you? Courtesy of this week's guest.
I have. I've got little armies of Daleks, and I've got Paul McGann, who's currently being attacked by a plant.
As can be seen on Twitter.
Yes. The string of hearts, which is my favourite plant. But I'm having to have words with it, because it's definitely trying to suffocate Paul McGann.
Yeah,
I've got Tom Baker on my windowsill, who for some reason sat with Clara. We're going to have to organise that, because that's bad.
Clara's met all the Doctors, it's fine. She's been there all through his life.
Yes. But it's very odd, because it's very... You know, Tom Baker looks like an old figure. And I mean that in the most complimentary manner possible. Like, he doesn't look like a modern Doctor.
Okay. I know what you mean. I do know what
And then you've got Clara in her shocking red dress next to him.
Can I just say, I saw that red dress up close at the Doctor Who Experience in Cardiff. And
that sounded ridiculously pervy.
Well, that's because I am. I mean, because it's lovely. I had a good look at it and just think, my goodness. And Jenna Coleman is, with the exception of yourself, the most stunning human being I've ever seen in person. Just flawless. Oh. Absolutely flawless.
You're adorable.
Stood beside her at Christmas 2014 in that London at the Christmas press launch for last Christmas when I get introduced to Peter Capaldi and shook his hand for about 2.5 minutes, or rather he shook my hand for 2.5 minutes. He was the Mr. Shaky Hand Man, but what a lovely, lovely fella he is. We love our PCAP. But yes, I'm sitting here with action figures around me. I've got my Eighth Doctor figure set, which of course we teased a few weeks ago when it hadn't been announced. just saying that we've got it. Well, I've got it, and yours will be on the way quite soon. And yeah, very, very nice set of figures. The fact you've got all three costumes, TV movie, Big Finish, and Night of the Doctor. So yeah, they're rather glorious.
Yes, they do look really nice, and I'm very jealous.
Well, you'll have yours soon. So yes, we have to say that we've got to say thanks to our lovely guest today for providing those figures for you. Some he yes. sent you direct, some that I passed on for him. So yeah,
I have a very, very, very short but well-worded from you message that I'm being forced to say, and that is that Alistair is a very lovely man.
Yeah, I can take the gun away from your head.
Thank you.
Don't worry, Al, it's true. But yeah, these sets are amazing, and yeah, I loved playing with those figures a few weeks ago, and particularly now we've got the Doctor with his Big Finish look and his record bag, as my pal, the Big Finish writer Roy Gill, describes it. Hello, Roy, I know you'll be listening. And it is such a great description. I think, Roy, you have got to get that in. Next time you do an Eighth Doctor script, you've got to mention it, and somebody's got to call it his record bag. And do you know what I know what vinyl he should be carrying in there. It should be one called The Creeping Death, which, strangely enough, is a 10th Doctor adventure that's available in vinyl written by one Roy Gill.
I actually saw that in HMV the other day.
No way. They still get copies. Wow. That's brilliant. Yeah,
I was looking through the audiobooks for my new record player and was like, ooh.
Well, if you get it, I'll get it signed for you.
Oh, well, maybe I might be tempted at some point then.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So for a change, Kenny, can you get your reading voice out and tell us what the box text has to say about the new Eighth Doctor figures?
Yes, I'm just reaching across here and I've picked up the wrong one. I've picked up the 10th Doctor box. Which is very clever. Yes, the 10th Doctor figure box set is lovely. I'm just trying to see where I have put the 8th Doctor one, because I had it here the other day and it has now gone. Well, this makes for great listening. This may have to be a quick edit point in that case. Where the hell?
Oh, yeah, but I'm so mentioning it.
Yeah, I know. I know you will. I'm just trying to find it. Oh, there it is. I put it away safely in my desk, in my drawer, in my cupboard. Yes, and this is quite a lot of text on here. So we have the Eighth Doctor. We encounter the Eighth Doctor after his failed mission to transport the remains of his longtime nemesis, the Master, to Gallifrey. The Seventh Doctor is caught in the crossfire of a gang shootout in 1999 San Francisco on Earth. He is taken to hospital where surgeons, confused by his double heartbeat, instead kill, in inverted commas, the Doctor. He is taken to a morgue where, after several hours, due to the effect of anaesthetic, he finally regenerates into his 8th incarnation. The Master, meanwhile, cheats death again and takes over the body of a paramedic named Bruce, who then attempts to steal the Doctor's remaining lives by opening the Eye of Harmony inside the TARDIS. However, the Doctor is able to prevent the Earth's destruction and the Master is sucked into the Time Vortex. The 8th Doctor continues to have adventures with a variety of companions and against some of the most nefarious and unique enemies. He partakes in pivotal events in Earth's history. His love of life and enthusiasm always shines through. When the 8th Doctor is worried, you know it's for a very good reason. And that's me just finished the first column of text, Luke. There's still two more to go.
Oh, blimey.
I know, but I shall carry on. His travels through the universe eventually culminate in the Time Lords drawing him against his will into the last great Time War. In an end that mirrors his beginning, he is actually killed when attempting to save a young woman who rejects salvation at the hands of the Time Lord, causing them both to die in a spaceship crash. He awakens in the company of the Sisterhood of Karn, who explain that he is indeed dead, but has been temporarily resurrected. They urge him to bring the war to an end and give him a choice of elixirs to trigger a full regeneration. Saluting his various companions, he drinks the elixir, designed to produce a warrior, before regenerating into the War Doctor and declares himself to be the Doctor no more. Crossing his own time stream, the 8th Doctor joins all of his other incarnations in attempting to save Gallifrey at the end of the Time War. And that's the end of the second column, virtually. And now we'll go in for a breakdown. Original TV movie costume. The 8th Doctor initially wore a Wild Bill Hickok costume which he liberated from the lockers at the San Francisco Hospital where he regenerated. Complete with a pair of black leather shoes taken from Grace Holloway's ex-boyfriend Brian, to give him the appearance somewhere between a Victorian dandy and Wild West gambler. Big Finish costume. 2010 revealed a new costume and sonic screwdriver for the Eighth Doctor, which Paul McGann indicated would be the new costume going forward, consisting of a royal blue leather pea coat, a white t-shirt, navy blue jeans and brown shoes. In this outfit, the Doctor also carried a brown satchel. Costume during the Time War. By the time of the Night of the Doctor, he sported a worn bottle green moleskin overcoat, a ruffled midnight blue ascot tie, a bronze grey paisley waistcoat, leather gaiters, and caramel brown US Army cavalry boots. His outfit corresponded with his overall weary appearance, presumably as a result of his many experiences during the Time War. And that's your lot. My goodness, are you awake still? Becca, wake up. Wake up, Becca.
Sorry, I had to mute you because there was lots of noise going on outside. I am awake. there was a lot, but I'm awake. Don't worry.
Oh dear, you're making me laugh now because I seem to have got a slight cold from Katie, my daughter. So.
I'm sorry. But I thought you did very well. Although, I think the best part of it was you unable to locate the box.
Yes.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, that's ingenious. That's what I get for trying to be organized, putting it at my desk, and then realizing that I'd forgotten I'd put it at my desk. So
you have many figures. This is what's happened here.
Well, no, I'm not going to say what I was going to say because it was rude. So I've stopped myself in time. Yes. How would you score that reading? Because you're the expert. You're our on-hand expert for readings.
I mean, I'm not. But I'd give it a solid 6.
Okay, I'll take a solid 6 rather than a runny 6. Thank you.
Yes. Anyway, let's move on and get to the bit that the people at home will actually be looking forward to. The interview.
That's right. Yes, I chatted with Al last week when you were at the hospital, and hopefully all will be well when you get the results. How are you feeling now? Because you said that you're a bit sore after the bloods.
The person who took my bloods, because I have awkward veins. I went in and apologised and said, I'm really sorry, I've got really awkward veins. And the guy was like, oh, that's fine, I can get blood out of a stone, and then proceeded to stab me 4 times. Oof. One of the times he went straight through one of my veins. It was awful, it was really bad. Ended up managing to get it out of the back of my hand after he made me stand with my hands under running, boiling hot water for 10 minutes. So it was all quite traumatising, to be honest.
Oh my god. But incidentally, did you know what a good thing is for bruising after you've had blood taken?
Is it ice? Like
if you put ice on it, that apparently stops the blood from being so messy. I found this out during my recent first aid course, now that I'm a qualified first aider.
Yes, I did manage to get the bruising to go, but... Ugh.
Good. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. But going back to Al, we didn't just chat about the McGann figures. We also had a chat about the new David Tennant set from The Wedding of Sarah Jane Smith, plus 2 new classic Dalek ones from Death of the Daleks and Planet of the Daleks from the Pertwee era. So it's now time to get on and have a chat with my fellow Scott, who, obviously, you're one of my best pals on the whole planet, but Al is another one of them. So now, let's hear from our guest and let's hear him introduce himself.
Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning, Al.
Al Jure, creative director for Character Options. As usual, I get creative oversight, fancy terminology, but basically it means I get a bit of input into the design of most things that we develop at Character Options, including, as you well know, the Doctor Who line. So that's me in a nutshell.
Except not literally in a nutshell, because there'd be a giant nut and you'd be trapped. So we don't want to go there, because then you'd suffocate and die, unless somebody wrote you out. That's too much imagination. Let's stop. Al, let's chat about the new figures. Now, would I be correct in saying that the idea for the 8th Doctor 3-pack began possibly just after we'd finished speaking about the 8th Doctor figures before, when, after we'd finished, I mentioned the rarity of the Time War figure, of the Time War Knight of the Doctor, McGann, because it was doing so well with the scalpers, and the fact that the normal TV movie Doctor had never really had a release on his own?
Yes, partly. It definitely dovetailed in. We had a slight change of direction that had to happen quite fast on these figures. And actually, it was our discussion that partially triggered that, because this doctor, yeah, I mean, I didn't realize the sort of rarity of that particular figure. We'd also done the TV movie figure a couple of times, and I never really sort of felt we'd quite hit the nail on the head. That figure for me always felt a bit, I suppose, I'm not sure what the word is. The word, I suppose, is a bit sort of cartoony compared with maybe some of the other figures. I think it was just because the paint deco was sort of quite blocky, you know, sort of one color trousers, one color jacket, the face and the hair, and it just never seemed to have quite the level of detail. And then on the other one, the audio one, I think you told me off a couple of times for not using the bag. So there was an opportunity to, and that one's probably the one where you would sort of say, oh, well, you know, you've sort of done it before. But again, you know me, I always try and change what we've done and sort of tweak them slightly or a lot, depending on what I'm after. I do think this time round, they are all much, much better than any that have been released before.
Yeah, because I think that with the TV movie one, there were, we did discuss briefly potentially even doing a BBC Books version from Eater of Wasps, where he had a black jacket and a green waistcoat and cravat, which was, I think, did discuss briefly. And then the other one was, you did have a picture, and I think you'd a version mocked up where he looked like he was wearing almost like a cream cravat and cream waistcoat, but that was just from the Doctor Who experience. And the, I could tell you from personal experience, having seen it, it was just the light had changed the colours entirely in the way it had been shot.
Yeah, and that's always a thing, you know. It's, I mean, I always think it's an interesting thing, because that type, that particular type of material, like a silk, as you say, depending on the light, it can look drastically different. It's quite often why I go mooching for behind the scenes imagery rather than maybe on screen imagery, just to get an idea maybe of how things would look a bit more in the flesh, as it were. And certainly there was quite a lot of reference for the TV movie costume. And I think you were the one that pointed out that not all of it is totally authentic. Some of it is sort of made up, but yeah, it was interesting to go back and have a look at that and sort of see what we could do. And what I found quite interesting was that colour palette that they'd chosen actually is very complementary. If you get the tones right, it can look very complementary. I've seen some comments that we've lost the pattern on the waistcoat, etc. And we did, but again, you know, in some lights that, you know, it's the material. In some lights, the pattern, the material almost glows and you don't see the patterning. And then another light, you see it. And it's a bit like velvet. It's a bit like the War Doctor's waistcoat, where, you know, once it's filmed and graded and corrected, it looks one color. But because of the nature of the material, velvet, it's got a sort of sub-color that can shine through, which in that particular case is, so it kind of flip-flops, the War Doctor's one flip-flops a bit between the sort of almost a burgundy color and a green color. Again, it's just down to the nature of the material, but it's actually fascinating. It does give you the chance to be option. But I do think with the TV movie figure this time, we did manage to sort of capture a little bit more of the right tone.
Yeah.
And we added things, simple things like a spatter on the trousers, just to get texture, and it just suddenly lifts the figure.
It does. It's very, I barely noticed that. It's amazing. It's done a great job. It's almost like he's been running through a field or a park, and he's just discovered that his shoes fit perfectly. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's something we came up with for the Fourth Doctor, because he used to wear that quite heavy weave trouser. And if you just do them in a grey, it just looks like he's wearing, you know, in the old days we'd have called them slacks. It just looks like he's wearing slacks. But the minute you add that slight spatter texture onto them, it suddenly reads as a textured material. So it's just little things like that trick the eye.
Yeah. And the knight figure as well. When we've been chatting, obviously, between ourselves, not on air, as it were, you're far happier with the Knight of the Doctor figure as well, just with that green coat. The colouring looks absolutely the way that it does in the flesh, or in the whatever material it is.
Yeah, so we did that figure originally, which I sort of quite like. I think there were slight limitations on the decoration, and it was pretty good. And then we did the sort of Bloody Duck version, just pre his regeneration. But with those kind of figures, I think, you know, the blood and the sweat, it's almost a moment in, it almost becomes a moment in time, which I think is a little bit more limiting. So, yeah, it was just a chance to go back and again look at some behind the scenes images, and maybe again there's with costumes, I think sometimes it's quite nice to capture that contrasty element, and then other times, which was this one again, I think it was quite nice to just go for a more natural color palette and just tweak things. So the spats color, the leather color of the boots, the, you know, the jacket color. It's very subjective and it's a minor tweak, but it is, I think, a better color. You've got that nice sort of off-white granddad shirt kind of thing going on. Yeah, I think it just, and the face decoration, again, I think we have improved that and just lifted that a little bit.
Yeah, looks great. But of course, it's not the only set we've got. On the way, we've got a lovely 10th Doctor set where I think you finally got that difficult problem of catching the right shade of blue for that Tennant suit.
Yeah, well, again, that was an interesting one where I quite often, I think I've talked about it before, there's a website I go to called Doctor Who Tragical History Tour, which is very good, and it does a lot of screen caps and stuff like that. But what was interesting about the sort of Wedding of Sarah Jane, which that version kind of came from, is just how zingy and blue and different that suit was. And yes, I know it was striped, and again, I've seen comments saying, oh, you know, they've ditched the stripes, it's somehow less than it should be. But there's a limitation with pinstripes in terms of how you can do them on a figure, and the 10th Doctor figure is a very interesting case in point. The minute you add the stripes to it, it drastically changes. So what was weird with the original ones is that the brown suit with the blue stripe almost reads as blue because the pinstripes are so heavy, and conversely, the blue suit with the brown stripes then almost reads as brown. So it was always a bit, it is that style of doing the suit. It's as good as we can do it. It's not possible to improve on that. But with this particular suit, it was so zingy and so blue and so specific. And I thought it was a very fresh look for the figure. So I really liked it. So I liked the idea of offering the sort of without jacket and with jacket versions at the same time. So, yeah. And I did a bit of research, and I did that sort of, it's quite fascinating. You get sucked in. It's a rabbit hole, as you know, Ken. Mm-hmm. You just get sucked into the hole of sort of information. But it's fascinating what you pick up about when those things were introduced. And obviously, it wasn't done just for the Sarah Jane adventure, but for some reason in my head, it resonates particularly in regard to that story.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I think it's the fact that you don't have, I mean, how often do you notice the red pinstripe on TV? Never is the answer to that. And I think it's yeah, a great piece of work. I'm looking at it, as you can see right now, and it's brilliant. I think it's great, both versions. And
that's what I mean. If that figure at the thickness that we can do it, it would just massively change the look. It wouldn't look right. So it was one of the situations where I just thought, sod it.
Yeah.
It's better without than with. It was that optician's moment.
Yes.
Better with or without? In this case, without.
Yeah. And also quite nice to touch on Doctor Who comics from Titan, which is somewhere that you haven't gone before yet. Obviously, we had Doctor Who magazine comic strip years ago with the 8th Doctor. But here we've got that Titan strip from that wonderful piece of work created by Will Brooks.
Yeah, well, I went deliberately looking for a different look for the Doctor that wasn't his end of time look and wasn't his sort of pre or regeneration or about to regenerate look. I was just milling through images online, and that picture of him on the front with the bone in his hand coming kind of towards you. I was just like, I thought, wow, and then I forgot about it. And I didn't actually download it and look at it in detail. And then I wanted to go back and find it again, and I couldn't find it. And I had to troll through, it took me ages to track down that picture again. And then I was like, oh, I know what we can do with this, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Some people have noticed that ragged 10th Doctor doesn't have the pinstripes on the rear of his body, his butt.
Oh.
The honest answer is, I don't know why that happened. I think I know why it happened.
Has he had an accident?
No. No, I think it happened because when they're making the jacketed versions, they don't have to decorate that bit because it's never seen. It's either of the short jacket. But of course, this was a shirted version, and I suspect they just assumed that this figure was going to be the same. It's the way it's set up in the factory, and unfortunately, yep, we didn't notice it till too late. So he is missing a couple of stripes on his butt. It's not a massive issue, but yeah, yep, it is an error, but yeah.
And then we have the two new Dalek sets, including the Dalek Supreme from Planet of the Daleks in set 2 for History of the Daleks number 9, and then History of the Daleks number 10, Death to the Blimmin' Daleks. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, well, yes. So a lot of people, and I include myself in this, sort of were a bit niggled that there wasn't a Planet Supreme in the first set. But there's so many iconic Daleks in that story that I felt the flip-top Daleks were important to get out there. So they were definitely in the first set. And then it sort of seemed a given. And I'd always sort of been on the opinion, of the opinion that if a story merited it, we'd do a couple of sets for each, you know, if there was enough Daleks. So if you took something like Remembrance, for instance, you've got the Black Supreme, you've got the Grey, you've got the White Imperial, and you've got the Destroyed Dalek. So that's a nice little set. And I don't think you can leave one of those primary Daleks out. They're very iconic to that
story. Also got the Special Weapons and the Emperor as well in there. So you're talking potentially 3 Remembrance sets as I'm looking at them right now.
I'd forgotten about the Special Weapons. That would probably be a better one than the Destroyed Dalek when we get to it, in fairness, because it's not really it's a moment in time thing. So we probably wouldn't. And unfortunately, the Davros from that particular story no longer exists. It's one of the tools that is gone. So that one won't be coming back, unfortunately. But the Planet Supreme. And again, I just wanted to tweak it. It was never again. We had some nice golds, but for some reason, the golds that we had previously sort of seemed to be a little bit sort of brassy. So we had a slightly different gold this time, and I think it's much better. I think the deco generally on that Dalek is much better. And then for the transparent Dalek, again, I just didn't want to do what we'd done before. I'm not keen on giving people the same things. I like a bit of the fact that it's there and you never go back and get exactly the same thing. So I thought, well, we'll do the transparent Dalek, which actually solves two problems, which is when it comes to Revelation, it means I don't have to do the glass Dalek because you've basically got it. So yeah, I think it's a nice set. And actually the transparent Dalek works better in a way that, again, the partially sprayed one maybe doesn't, because again, that's a moment in time from a specific part of that story, whereas the whole concept in that story is that there are invisible Daleks, albeit somewhat weirdly, and it's just occurred to me now that's the only transparent Dalek we ever see in that story. It's like, oh, the Daleks are experimenting with invisibility, here's one that's bust, and you never see it again. I mean, if you think about it, it would have been quite an interesting scene if you'd had a couple of scenes where there were transparent Daleks pursuing the Thals through the jungle, because that would have been quite terrifying in a way.
And of course, Al, that's not the only Dalek set we've got coming as well in this batch. Could you maybe tell us more about the next?
One of my favourite stories. I really love the livery on that for that particular story of the Daleks. And I was reading again, apparently the producer liked the 60s colour scheme, so he went back. I don't know quite why he thought that was the 60s colour scheme, because it's clearly absolutely not. But I think it's one of the best. Again, there is a slight error in this one, in that, again, the factory, I signed off samples where everything was painted correctly, but for some reason the factory decided that it wasn't going to paint the rear of the Daleks. This is the second time they've done this. So the actual sign-off samples don't match up with the production samples. Now, having said that, it's actually a relatively simple fix if anyone wants to correct it, which is get yourself a Sharpie or some paint and just fix that little missing bit of paint at the back. But it's frustrating and annoying, and I get that, but there's nothing we can do. But it is a very good story. We put an oval fronted Dalek in there and a non-oval fronted, and I know there's been some debate about, did they have ovals, didn't they? But actually they did. There was a mix of, I think there was two Goon Daleks and the rest were original Shawcraft Daleks, and unfortunately the Goon Daleks were the ones that were actually destroyed on location to get the special effects shots of the Dalek falling and blowing up. It's hard to imagine that, given how often they were used and how expensive they were, that somebody just blithely decided to set a Dalek prop on fire and throw it off a cliff. But there you go. That's how they were treated. I don't think it was right, but that's what they did. So yeah, I mean, it's a great story. I love it. I like the fact that the Daleks are kind of in the same position as everyone else for a while. But then we know the Daleks are what they're like. They come up with the machine guns and eventually cause absolute chaos,
as they are wont to do. Great story. I say, I think it's my memories of getting it in VHS sort of set it up for me has been one of my favourite stories. So
I love it because of Galloway, because he's Scottish, so I love the fact that, is it Galloway?
Yes,
it is Galloway.
Dan Galloway, yes. Yeah.
And he's the very gruff guy in it. I just like it. It's a great story. It's just one of those. It's one of those weird. It's almost Base Under Siege turned on its head in the way that it's it's a Base Under Siege. It's under siege from the outside because they've got to get in rather than the other way around. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, and of course the future. There are, I think, five, six more sets before the end of the year to join us. I'm just quickly counting. 1, 2, 3, 4.
There are.
Six, yes.
There's some nice ones coming up. You know what they are.
Yes, I'm looking at them right. Yes, I'm looking at them right now.
We can't.
Good job it's not a video podcast.
Yes, we can't say what they are. But I think people will be. Again, it's this range. I think it's been said a few times, but it's been a more grounded range this time. I think the days of getting tons of new stuff via B&M in the sense of new characters each and every year, I think that is probably coming to an end. I think for various reasons, but it's just going to be a little bit more grounded going forward. I don't think that means there won't be some changes, but I think they'll be more limited and a little bit more specific, which is fine. And I think you've seen the next drop, so you know what it's like. And I think we've still managed to pull something new and different out of the bag, and I would like to keep doing that. But I'm actually quite interested to discuss the next wave at some point when we get a chance. We'll get a chance to go into those in a bit more detail. Yes. I'll ask you the question of the ones that have been released or announced so far.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? What's your particular? Well, and you can be honest as you feel.
I love the Eighth Doctor set. I think the fact you've got three distinct figures, three distinct looks, I think is fantastic. The fact that they're all very, very different and variations in what we've had before. I mean, the basic fact that the bag is in there is going to make a lot of people want to go out and buy it anyway, which was retooled or repurposed from a Primeval figure, I believe.
Yes.
I think it's a fab set. The 10th Doctor set, I love you've got the colour absolutely bang on. Yes, the shoulder articulation sadly didn't work out the way you'd hoped, but it's still a damn good set, and the Dalek sets are just top notch.
Yes, and just on that, I mean, it was a weird situation. It was in, and then suddenly I was potentially going to use it in something completely different, and then that completely different thing didn't happen. And so it could have actually gone back into the set, but it was actually an issue where I'd sort of said, and I think the factory got a bit confused. So again, it's one of those things where I think on the pack it says quite explicitly, it's got the ball-jointed shoulders, but it ended up not having the ball-jointed shoulders. It's a minor in the great scheme of things. I think in terms of the overall figure, it makes very little difference. But never say never. There's always a chance we might be able to use that further down.
That's been brilliant. Al, thank you. Really enjoyed it, as always. And we'll speak
cool, and yeah.
We'll speak again very soon when this next wave is out. In fact, we could even talk about an old one sometime soon as well.
Yeah, let's do that. And also, I think you'd sort of said some folk might have some questions, and questions usually tend to come up after sets are released. So, you know, as long as it's not an insane level of questions, and then yeah, I'm more than happy to chat about them.
Fantastic. Well, that has been brilliant, sir. Thank you once again, and we'll speak very soon.
Indeed. Thank you very much. Take care, Kenny.
Thanks again to Al, and he'll be back with me soon for another episode of the Optional Extras podcast, which is hosted on this channel. Oh, and thanks, of course, to all of our other guests over the past 28 weeks, as I think we've had something like 40 different guests over the course of this run, which is quite a hell of a lot when you think about it, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And I think now we have earned a well-deserved rest.
Yes, I think we should take at least a couple of weeks off.
I can start getting my university work started.
Indeed. But of course, if you've enjoyed listening to this week's Pieces of Eight, listeners, or indeed any other episode we've done, please do leave us a review on iTunes, as the more people who can find our episodes, the better. And it's always very much appreciated.
It is indeed. So, Kenny, I have to ask, do you know what the next wave of figures is?
I certainly do. I'm looking at them right now.
Oh.
Yes, I'm looking at 6 different sets that are on the way. There are, let me see, let's see. There's 1, 2, 3 sets which have got Daleks in them.
Oh.
And there's another, ooh, yeah, there's a little teaser as to what's on the way. So, hang on, is that right? Hang on. Is that right? Have I just told a fib?
I don't know.
No. Oh, yes. Well, there's 3 sets with Daleks in them, and then there's another 3 as well, one of which I think people are just going to go nuts for. So that'll be the one to get. I think people will like that. And yes, oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Do you know that the reactions to this wave, actually, there's quite a few negative ones to the wave with the McGanns, as some people were saying that they were very disappointing. And these were produced to a limited budget, as you've got to remember, B&M is a discount store. It's not like the old days when you were getting into Toys R Us and supermarkets, so it's definitely a discount wave. And somebody was complaining that they weren't getting the figures that he wanted. So I did point out, you're basically shopping in Lidl and you're expecting Harrods quality goods, which resulted in myself and another of my online pals, Captain Jimmy Pie, who does brilliant customs, big action figure fan, and at Captain Jimmy Pie. He's brilliant, really nice fella, and the pair of us got blocked for standing up for Al to say these are a limited budget range and they're expecting way so much. But as Al's just said, things will be changing, unfortunately, in the future. But stay tuned, because Al is a bit of a magician, and he said a couple of ideas for a couple more sets from me as well in the last week. So fingers crossed. I've only ever been blocked by 2 people on Twitter, and both were Doctor Who related. One was Ian Levine, who's the sort of Doctor Who missing episodes guru, and he believes that somebody has got all the Philip Morris, not the cigarette company, believes that he's found loads of missing episodes, and he tweeted something that after a 60s director died, saying that, oh, and now he'll never get to see his work, even though you're sitting on it, Philip Morris. And Phil Morris obviously isn't, because he demanded him back. So I said that was a slightly tasteful or distasteful comment and got blocked. So that's my other block. So there we go.
That's awful.
I know.
No. Well, I feel like we need to like wrap up now before we get into like even more horrific things.
Yes.
You know, we've talked about blood tests and stabby thing.
And turds.
Horrible people.
Yep.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week, and indeed this series. I can't believe that we started way back on the 25th of February. I'd only just turned 27.
Yeah, just mention your youthfulness again. I like it.
I will.
You did.
And if this had carried on any longer, I would have been 28. But, you know, since then we've had Paul McGann himself. We've gone through loads of audios, short trips and books, official and unofficial.
And a few novels in there as well. And of course, we've already revealed that we're going to be featuring all of the Eighth Doctor novels from the Eight Doctors up to and including The Face Eater, book number 18, with all new and exclusive interviews with the majority of the writers.
And we might have a few surprises on the way too, but that's all we're going to say about that for now. We don't want to leave you in a state of flux.
We most definitely don't. So until then, we hope you've enjoyed this series. It's been series 3, it's been 28 episodes, it's been a great laugh. And I've been Kenny Smith.
And I have been Rebecca Chapman. Sorry, I had a moment.
We'll see you all very soon. Or we'll hear you all. Or you'll hear us very soon. Get it right. Third time there.
In it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What?